What a joy it is to be able to teach and preach God's Word, especially when it deals with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries. This is a Bible teaching session from the end of Matthew chapter 27 and chapter 28. The title is Experience the Risen Christ.
They had a news report that dealt with these mummies, kings and queens from Egypt, thousands of years old. They got them up some way and they put them in this souped up vehicle that was supposed to be so shock absorbent. They were going to ride these mummies around in the street. And I'm thinking, you can ride them around in Cairo, Egypt, in the street, wherever you want to do, but they're still dead as a doornail. They won't feel anything. They won't be able to talk to you. But I know someone who is risen, and he's alive and well. He went in the grave just like they did, but he came out victorious. We can experience the risen Christ. That's what we want to do today, to experience the risen Christ. Jesus Christ arose from the dead and lives forever. Paul talked about the gospel that I delivered to you, which will keep you if you stand in it, by which you're saved. The scriptures teach that he died. The scriptures teach that he was crucified. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Matthew 28:6, he is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. So the exciting news is news of the resurrection. He is not here. He is risen. You're invited to come see the place where he lay. You can talk about the grave. You can sing about the grave, but he's not in the grave. He has arisen victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Paul talked about, when he said the gospel according to the scriptures, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again. He talked about his burial. He didn't stay there too long, but he talked about Christ's burial. Sometimes you have to have a burial, and you talk about it to prove someone is dead. And Christ did die, and he was buried, but he rose again. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. This was the burial of Jesus. Isaiah said he identified himself with the rich in his burial. And who shall declare his generation? This is Matthew, the end of chapter 27. It's talking about the burial of Jesus. There was Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, sitting over against the sepulcher. Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, a nice way of saying the Sabbath day. The preparation was a Good Friday. The Sabbath day came on. And the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that deceiver said, while he was yet alive, After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulchre be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say unto the people, He is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. These agitators and aggravators, Pilate certainly by this time was fed up with them. They had brought Jesus false charges, was not guilty, set up the mock trial and came and demanded him to be crucified. Pilate finally gave in to them, and now he's crucified and dead, and here they come again. Make the grave sure, put a guard there. You know, he said while he was alive that he was going to rise again. We don't want his disciples to come by night and steal him away. Say to the people that he's risen from the dead. And you notice what they said, the last error will be worse than the first. Who said anything about an error? The only error they made was them. They are the ones who made the error. It's like the liberal crowd in the government today. They're the ones who are making all the errors. They're the ones who are doing everything wrong. And they turn around and blame somebody else for it. That was this souped up, cooped up thing that was going on in Jesus' day. Just a joke. And it's so sad to see governments, countries run like this. Pilate said unto them, you have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can. It's a way of saying, you already got what you want. You've got your watch, go make it sure as you want to. So they went, made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Didn't matter what they did. He was coming out of that grave, glorious and victorious. Christ's resurrection. Now we're in Matthew chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Somebody said the grave didn't have to be open for him to come out. No, it didn't have to be open for him to come out, but it needs to be open for me to get in. And I don't want to get into the grave. I'm talking about getting into the kingdom of God. Yes. There had to be an empty grave. The angel thought so. He came from heaven, the commandment of God. He rolls back the stone and sits upon it. What does that mean? That's authority. I'm rolling this stone back by the commandment of God, and I'm sitting on it as a sign of power and authority. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment as white as snow. For fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. Here are Roman soldiers, not supposed to be afraid of anything. Supposed to keep the sepulcher sure, and they became like dead men, falling to the earth. Nobody can stand against the power of my God. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. I want you to see it. I don't want you to forget it, but I don't want you to stay here either. Go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. So Jesus had told them ahead of time, I will rise again from the dead, and I will go into Galilee, into a certain place, and I want you to go there, and you will see me. Now the angel confirms the word. Go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. He will go into Galilee, and there you will see him. They departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. If they ran to bring his disciples word about the resurrection, you and I need to run now to bring the world word that he has risen from the dead. They ran to bring the disciples' word, and we can run to bring not only the disciples' word, but we can run and bring the word to those who will become disciples. As they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, Jesus himself, saying, all hail. That song surely came, all hail King Jesus. He greeted them. Right there, just again another proof of the resurrection. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Tell my family. Tell my friends. Tell my brothers and sisters. Go into Galilee, and there you'll see me. Christ gives a mandate. We call it the Great Commission to his disciples. This crowd got afraid because now news is out that he's risen from the dead. They go into the council again, tell the chief priests. They give large money to the soldiers and say, if anything comes of it, say that his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Yeah, slept, all right. That's the cause of immediate death. You'd be put to death going to sleep on the job. It's amazing what blackmail money will do. It's been going on ever since man's been on the earth and has fallen in sin, the Garden of Eden. And it's still going on now. You can buy your way out of a lot of things, but you can't buy your way out of sin. You can't buy your way out of hell. And because of this thing that went on between verses 11 to 15, we're not having time to read today. It's not part of our text, but it's sad because the Jews, even to this day, believe that. They believe the myth that the disciples came by night and stole him away, and they didn't receive him as Messiah to begin with. And even if he had been the Messiah, or what they thought was the Messiah, now he's dead, and his disciples comes by night and steals him away, tells everybody that he's risen from the dead. It's amazing what they can come up with, these coup stories, and they make fun of us for believing in a God that we've never seen, loving in a God that we've never been to. But it makes a whole lot more sense to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved than it does to come up with something about the disciples coming by night and stealing him away, telling everybody that he rose from the dead. The simple truth was that it happened a whole lot easier than that. By the power of God, God just went into that grave and raised him up by the power of God, and he lives forever. Nobody had to steal him. Nobody had to move him. Nobody had to give a bunch of money to some soldiers to pay them off to tell a lie that he had gotten stolen away while they slept. Then the 11 disciples, they went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So this myth that came to the Jewish people that says we can't believe in the resurrection because his disciples came and they stole him away, it's just a myth indeed, because it's just something money did to try to explain away the true fact. The true fact is that he lives forevermore. He goes and he appears to the disciples, says the 11, because Judas had already hung himself, Judas Iscariot. And so now there are 11. Soon that'll be replaced. There'll be 12 again. But anyway, when they saw him, what a wonderful thing it must have been to have seen him after they knew he was dead, and now they see him again. They worship him, but some doubted. There are some doubting Thomases around, but Jesus is alive, whether people doubt or not. Jesus came, and he speaks to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Because all authority, all exousia, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. That's why you can go into the world and teach all nations or make disciples of all ethnos, all people. It's because of the resurrection, because of the power of God, because of the authority of Jesus Christ. Because all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth, therefore go. When we go, we're not going in our timid little self, in our denominational name. We're not going because a certain preacher tells us so. We're going in his exousia, in his authority. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, go, teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus gives us the mandate to make disciples of all people, to baptize the disciples. He didn't even say go to the bishop and get him to do it. He didn't say go to the elders and cause them to do it. He didn't say find you a pastor and get him to do it. He said you go teach them and you baptize them. You say, well, I didn't have authority to do that. Jesus said you did. He said all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. When you go fishing, if you're real good, sometimes you can get somebody to clean your fish for you. But the thing is, when you catch your fish, you're supposed to clean them yourself. Well, Jesus said, if you get them saved, I'm the one who saves them. But if you get them saved, you can get them baptized. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The apostolic gospel and the doctrine is passed on. Just like the early church, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and teaching and preaching, fellowship and praying from house to house. And the Lord adds to the church daily such as should be saved. and the gospel has been spread ever since then because he is alive. We can experience the risen Christ. Teach them to observe all the things that I have told you to do. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. Just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, he lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. I'm glad he's a living Savior today. We can experience the living Christ, experience the risen Christ, experience the power of the resurrection. It's like Chris Tomlin sings, I have resurrection power. Living on the inside, living on the inside Jesus. He has given us freedom. He has given us freedom. We have that same resurrection power. Every born-again believer has that same resurrection power. And if you're a sanctified, born-again believer, you know the cleansing of that resurrection power. And if you're a spirit-filled, sanctified, born-again believer, you know the power of that resurrection power. If you've ever been touched and healed by the power of God, you know what the miracle working power of that power can do. And if you're getting ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, we know and we'll know one day what that glorifying power will do. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise us up by the glory of God. Because I live, you shall live also, he said. Christ is the first fruits. He became the first fruits of all those who sleep in Christ. Because he was resurrected, we have the promise of resurrection too. We can experience the risen Christ. Father, thank you for this wonderful chapter, Matthew chapter 28. I'm glad it didn't stop with the end of chapter 27. I'm glad it stopped with the end of chapter 28. And he goes back to heaven and said, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Because you're saved, you'll be witnesses to me when the power of the Holy Ghost comes upon you. You'll be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the uttermost part of the earth. We thank you, Father, that we're here today because he is risen. He is risen indeed. And I pray that truth would come and ring strong to many hearts today. They would be born again, saved to the uttermost by the power of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been a teaching session from Matthew chapters 27 and 28. The title has been, Experience the Risen Christ. Jesus Christ wants to be your Savior and Lord today. Make sure that he is. You'll be glad you did. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.